Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in What am I doing? I'm rusty. First game.
I feel like you did that a lot last year, too.
I did. It's just habit. You know, I mean, 300 and however many shows we do a year, and that's the first thing I say. So. But yeah. You know what? We'll get to it later. You know what's coming. We'll thank our sponsors over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Whatever your role is in your business, you need to give Cam, our friend Cam Baker, a call and talk to him and say, hey, I understand you guys can put together a plan for my business, that you guys can help me realize our vision for marketing our business. And he's going to tell you, I can do that, and let's sit down and put it all on paper. Please tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning when you do that. And you're going to find out what 30 years of experience in the business is going to get for you guys. The list is long. Go to their website, pipridgeland.com. You can get an idea of what they can do for your business right there. Pip Printing and Signs, when you need printing, call Pip today. No, I'm sorry. I left out the number, 601-499-5216.
We're recording this at 11:30 at night, so it's been a long day.
It's late. I sweated a lot today.
I did, too.
We were sweaty.
No one can resist my sweaty.
Yeah. All right. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and you are looking for it. Our good friends at College Corner, we were up in Oxford this past week, and our friend Scott gave me, I have 4 gift cards to give away from College Corner, $20 gift cards. So I'm going to sit down and I'll think about it over the next couple days, and we'll figure out how we're going to give those away. And I hope that you will use those. I saw a lot of great polos tonight, interlocking. Script State, M over S. But I still saw some Banner M ones out there, guys. We got to get you in the right mood, the right going in the right fit.
Stop it. Stop it.
So you can do it at College Corner. 2 locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at... Is that a restaurant, Talia? I just read your tweet. This is really funny.
Which one?
About Shawn Michaels. Oh. Because that guy does flop. That's a bad one.
Do you remember that match? Yes. Shawn Michaels, he was like getting kicked, and he was just like...
He's flying through the air. So, yeah, that's a good tweet. I'm going to go to Restaurant Tyler this week and have lunch. If you're listening to this on a Sunday morning, it's still time to get over there for Sunday brunch. And you have a better than 50% chance of seeing Robbie Falk there?
Not tomorrow, but...
Most days.
Yes.
Most Sundays.
Yes.
So go check it out. It's the best brunch in town. It's the best meal in town. It's right there at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you everything that they can do to help you manage your money, to help you invest, help you plan and prepare for the future. You want to get a bank behind you that offers you 2 things, a number of financial services, a number of ways to help you invest and manage your money, but you also don't want to sacrifice great service when you have those kind of options. You don't have to worry about that at Priority One Bank. They've got you taken care of. Priority One Bank, 16 locations means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State 56, Eastern Kentucky 7, as we talked about last week, that line was a joke. There was never a doubt in my mind Mississippi State would cover it and cover it easily. Touchdowns from the offense, from the defense, from the special teams. But most importantly, the promise was fulfilled of the high-octane, fast-paced offense. And Mississippi State fans needed that. What else do Mississippi State fans need? What else might they need? Well, I know somebody who knows the answer to that. I know someone who can tell us the answer to that. I know someone who knows what you need to know. And so for the first time in the 2024 football season, I ask a very simple question. I don't even ask a question. I make a very simple statement. Tell them, Falk!
Well, Brian, let's just get this out of the way. I don't want to hear anybody say, well, it was Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah.
It was an FCS opponent. I don't want to hear that. I don't. I don't want to hear it from an Ole Miss fan. I don't want to hear it from a Mississippi State fan. I don't want to hear it from anybody. Message board, Twitter, anywhere. I don't care if Mississippi State was playing Winston Academy on, shout out to my Patriots, on Saturday. Don't care. I wanted to see big plays. I wanted to see an offense that was competent. I wanted to see guys flying up and down the field, dominating the opposition. That's exactly what we saw. We came into this week saying, what do you want to see this week? And we talked about it. We talked about how it needed to be an easy win for Mississippi State, and it was in just about every facet. The defense, we'll talk about them. I was not surprised by really anything that I saw on either side of the ball. I was not disappointed. I was not upset. I thought Mississippi State did what they had to do. And I left this game feeling way different than I felt last year when Mississippi State played Southeastern Louisiana, who I think is a very comparable opponent to Eastern Kentucky. I don't think they're that far apart. Eastern Kentucky's not a good team. Mississippi State was the better team, the more athletic team. It showed on the field, but the big takeaway was this looks like an offense with a plan. It looks like a coach with a plan. It looks like a quarterback that knows how to run an offense, do it effectively. It was so refreshing to see a guy throwing the football 30 to 50 yards down the field through the air. We have not seen that, and doing it with accuracy. I didn't see maybe one pass that Blake Chapin had. He threw a pass, I think, to Sadu Traore around the 5-yard line or something that was kind of, I think, maybe a miscommunication or something. The rest of the game, I thought Blake Chapin was fantastic. Navigated the offense well. The receivers, they look like, this looks like the most talented group that they had. I don't think that that's a major stretch either, and I don't think that's an overreaction. I think this is a deep and a talented wide receiver group that Mississippi State hasn't had here much. I don't know how many Kevin Colemans we've seen at Mississippi State. Jordan Mosley looked outstanding. This has been a guy that he's been my breakout candidate since like last spring.
Yeah.
And he caught 3 passes last year, I think, for 40-something yards. 5 catches, 104 yards with a touchdown.
Yeah.
4 different receivers with a touchdown. Mario Craver looks like a star in the making. Kevin Coleman looks like a guy that's going to score a couple of touchdowns probably in special teams this year. You scored in all 3 phases. There was some exciting action out there. I just don't know if I can take anything negative from this game. We can nitpick about the defense, but I think that is just kind of what it is at this point. But the offense looked smooth for Mississippi State, looked exciting. You can see the beginning pieces. And Jeff Lebby, I asked him after the game, where does this game kind of rank on the scale of Showtime for him? Because since the beginning, he's talked about putting on a show. And he said it's nowhere close. It's not even close to what he wants. They left a lot to be desired with him, and they scored 56 points. So if you're a Mississippi State fan, that should excite you. This season might be a struggle at times. There might be some games where Mississippi State really struggles to score points, or Mississippi State struggles to get stops. But I just get a feeling about Jeff Lebby that he's gonna do some good things here. Just that's my early returns on this, and this was a very good start. It is Eastern Kentucky, but for tonight, I really don't want to hear that. I just wanted to see Mississippi State take care of their own business, and they did just that.
Yeah, I mean, State fans needed just to have a night to enjoy. And I talked about this on the post game because you and I have brought this up before. At the end of the day, you know, State fans, they bleed for their team, right? They want their team to win. But we always talk about this. This is entertainment dollars. Mm-hmm. And tonight was entertaining. You know, they put 56 points on the board. They ran the ball up, or they moved the ball up and down the field. They were quick. They had big plays. They were exciting. State fans needed to see that. And we're going to go a little further in the depth than that, as you might imagine. But it checked a lot of boxes for Mississippi. It scratched a lot of itches for Mississippi State fans. And so we'll see. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, you're talking about, you know, football and entertainment and everything else. I don't know what the over is going to be on this Mississippi State-Arizona State game, but I would be taking it if I were you. It is Arizona State leading 34-0 in the third quarter over Wyoming. Wyoming was only a 7-point underdog, and I saw today Tom Fornelli, who puts out a pick every week for his best pick of the day, mm-hmm. he was like, take Wyoming in the points. So he's way off on that. But that's a guy who I know he knows college football, but he just missed on this one. Arizona State looking really, really good. So that'll be for an interesting week, too. Let's stay on week one here, and let's move into the second part of the show, which is brought to you by our good friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. This weekend, if you're cooking out, throw some beef on the grill. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Our good friend Malcolm Reed, he just put out a new tri-tip video.
Ooh.
So not that I need any...
Right, you got your own.
Not that I need any. I had somebody reach out to me the other day. They were in a good mood about something. They were like, I may smoke a tri-tip. I was just like, hey, if you got any questions, you know, hit me up.
You're the purveyor,
the authority
of tri-tip
on this particular thing. So
they did end the Kentucky game, by the way.
Yeah, they needed to. That game was like, I think 10 minutes. You know, they only had like a 10-minute halftime. Because they were just like, we got to get out of here. And so they finally just said that. It's 31-0. Southern wouldn't come back. Anyway, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And we know that you are looking for it. I know Two Brothers is always the place to be on game day, but gets the place to be just about every other day, too. I know I always say it's not just barbecue, but the barbecue is great at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. And of course, if you want to try something different, Starkville's newest restaurant, it's quickly becoming one of its best, and that's the Older Brother, the home, the chateau, if you will, of the fancy
chateau.
Yes, of the fancy sandwich. When you want to get a sandwich like you cannot get anywhere else in Starkville, the place to go is the Older Brother. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years, 50, 50 years, 50.
50.
Taking care of their customers and being the leader in business technology here in the state of Mississippi. When you want to be able to buy a product and know that you've got somebody who will deliver service after the sale, well, then you need to call Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I saw a tweet from our friends at Maroon & Co. I think they had a pretty good day selling gear today. They said they had a link of stuff that they said didn't sell out. So,
yeah.
Good for them.
Weekend, and I think the new shipment that came in of
yeah.
the camo, I think that was a hit.
I think you're correct. I think people have heard the good word about Maroon & Company. So, let them reload, and then you can go grab some more stuff the next time you're up here in Starkville. Or you can just shop online at maroonandcompany.com, and that will you can just do that right there. Our promo code, Thunder15, it's available online as well, or you can just use it in the store. Thunder15 for 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go back to Davis Wade Stadium, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. I never thought this segment would be what it is, but apparently you guys all love it, so let's just jump right into it, Robbie. Once again, these are the things that are true. And these are the things that are true are brought to you by our friends at Bell Building Supply, our newest sponsor here on Thunder and Lightning, the Golden Triangle's platinum big green egg dealer. They were so kind. Part of our sponsorship is they let me have a big green egg. And what a machine that is. You get the ease of cooking like it's a pellet grill, but you still have the joy of the live fire. Puts out incredible meat. And if you are already a big green egg owner here in the Golden Triangle, well, Bell Building Supply has all of the accessories you need to make the experience even better. But if you're looking for a big green egg, you need to head today to Bell Building Supply in Starkville. Sponsors of These Are the Things That Are True. Here's what's true. The big
also,
green egg is awesome.
They also have some great building material.
Yes.
And that's where I got all of my windows in my house, all of my doors, and our friend Wes over there came to my house from Starkville to make sure that everything was smooth, make sure everything came in right, help me with my doors. I mean, it's the perfect small town business.
Yeah.
And they will go above and beyond. I can tell you that as someone that has done business with them, so I can speak 100% on that, and I'm still waiting for my big green egg, but I do appreciate the Wes and company for what they do, because they are incredible over their bills.
There you go. All right, we got 9 things that are true this week, Robbie. Here we go. Number one, you know it's an election year. You know that a lot of promises are being made by Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And you know that no matter who wins this election, ain't neither one of them likely to keep any of those promises. But Jeff Lebby made a promise, and he delivered on his promise tonight. He promised a show. He promised fast-paced. He promised tempo. He promised explosive plays. He delivered that tonight. So Jeff Lebby, if Jeff Lebby wants to run for president, that's up to him. But I think it's important to say that in a time where promises are made and broken without regard, that Jeff Lebby delivered on his promise tonight.
He did. He said it was going to be a show, and it was a show. Now, there's a whole lot more games to go here for Mississippi State. But I think that what we wanted to see from this team in game one from Jeff Lebby was delivered. And I think he has the pieces in place to do a lot more of that this year.
I agree. I think the offense is fine. And we'll talk. Let's continue that talk. Number two, Blake Chapin looked every bit of a Jeff Lebby quarterback. You watch the first half, and you tell me you don't see Matt Corral out there. Throwing the ball deep, throwing it accurately, scrambling, making plays, running tough. Maybe a little too tough. Maybe a little too tough, Robbie.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to learn how to slide.
Yeah.
But, he looked the part. He looked like a guy who's going to go out this year and throw for close to 3,000 yards and rush for another 400 or 500 yards. If that's the kind of Blake Chapin, look, not every game's going to be that easy. But if I can get that kind of accuracy and that kind of toughness and that kind of running out of Blake Chapin, Mississippi State's going to be just fine this year. I thought that was a really, really solid performance from him.
This is why I know there's tougher competition on the way, but this is why I just did not understand people automatically just counting out Blake Chapin in this offense. We all of a sudden just think that Jeff Lebby doesn't know how to evaluate quarterbacks or develop.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's been playing essentially in a pro-style offense at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Did some good things, but limited in a lot of things that he could do. This offense is going to really open up everything that he does well.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's got the ability to get out of the pocket, move it a little bit, extend plays. Mississippi State hasn't had that in a while. And also, he can really sling it. The guy can throw it. And we saw a little bit of that today. I'm really excited to see him progress in this offense. If he stays healthy, that again continues to be the whole thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking some shots, man. He took a few.
Took a few shots tonight.
He really doesn't need to
also
take.
Also got up in the mix on that end around and tried to throw a block. I'm just like, get out the way, man.
Yeah, just be – if he just plays it safe and to a certain extent and does all that, then, you know, it should be a good year for him.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I think at some point, though, you can't – I think the easiest way to get hurt is to tell people to play
safe.
Play safe.
Yep. If you're like, bracing for impact or you're conscious about the way you're running and stuff, it does lend to more injuries, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the way to handle that. But I just feel like he needs to – if he can take an out, if he can get out of bounds, if he's heading there anyway, yeah, go ahead and get out of bounds. If you feel like you're about to get tackled, slide down. Yeah, there's just a way to – there's a way he could handle it a little bit better, but for the most part, I thought he was outstanding. He looks like a guy that is in full control of that offense, and that's Jeff Lebby always seems to find those guys.
I agree. Number three, the lack of the explosive plays in the run game is a concern. Your longest runs tonight came from your quarterback on a scramble and, of course, the end around to Creed Whittemore. The other three guys, Daniels, Lee, and Booth, Nothing out of the ordinary there. There wasn't that long run. There wasn't, a series of 8, 10, 12, 15-yard runs out of anybody. They were able to move the chains for the most part. They averaged over 4 yards a carry. But State averaged 5.8 yards per carry, but that's sort of skewed because Whittemore has one carry for 41 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more from those guys. I'd like to see a little bit more from Devon Booth. I think he's clearly the most talented guy in that group. But by and large, I was just kind of surprised that there weren't a little bit more consistency and a little bit more big play out of the run game tonight.
Yeah, and listen, nobody had over 10 carries. So, I don't know how much of that is just the fact that they just didn't get in a groove.
That's possible.
I think they're still trying to figure out what the pecking order is. Who needs to be in the mix there? Yeah, I see your point that there just wasn't any explosives at that spot. Mm-hmm. But I think the more that they run this offense, the more time they spend in it, the better that's going to be. Offensive line still has to get cohesive, too. I mean, they've just been blocking Mississippi State's defensive line. That unit's still got to get better. I think there's going to be some ups and downs with the offense, especially early on. Let's see how that transpires over the next few weeks.
Agreed, yeah.
Not super concerned yet, but it is something that you would like to see.
Yeah, I want to see it next week, for sure. They're gonna need some of those plays next week, I think. Number four, State has receivers like it's never had before. The depth, not necessarily the top-end talent, right? I don't know that there's an Eric Molds in this group or anything like that. But just the depth to have been as good as they were tonight at receiver without Kelly Akari really gives me some hope for when Akari is back that this group is going to be a matchup nightmare for teams, just because it's going to be tough to cover all four of those guys when they're on the field at the same time. Kevin Coleman, outstanding. You did a great job picking him as your playmaker. I picked him as my X factor. Either way you want to put it, we were both right. Jordan Mosley, as you talked about. Craver, as you talked about. Stalker Burnside only got one catch tonight and didn't do much with it, but the talent's there. Whittemore, I don't think Whittemore had a catch, but he did have that carry.
He had one catch for 3 yards.
Okay. Trent Hudson?
There's a lot.
Didn't do much in this game.
But no, I saw him in there a couple of times, but just didn't.
He was listed as a starter, but Whittemore got the start.
This is a group that I think it could be different guys each week.
I agree with that. But that's what I'm talking about. They have that kind of depth.
I think Kevin Coleman is going to be kind of steady.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Akari gets back, he's probably going to be steady too.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else, I think it's going to be, case by case.
Yeah, like next week, I don't necessarily expect Jordan Mosley to have 100 yards receiving.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, I'm kind of surprised Mississippi State has these options in year one.
Yeah.
With Lebby. And, a lot of them are guys that have been here, Mike Leach recruited. But, like, a Kevin Coleman, to have him year one,
mm-hmm,
is huge. And He just looks so different. I don't know. I don't even know who to compare him to in the past. I mean, Xavion Thomas is kind of comparable, but I don't even know if he had this kind of shiftiness about him, the twitch. The cuts that he made tonight are just not. There's not many guys that can do that. I don't think.
Yeah.
That when you saw him in the punt returns,
Jamion Lewis.
Yeah, but he's. I think he's faster than that.
Yeah.
And he's, and probably even more shifty.
Yeah.
I mean it. He's got some.
I'm trying to go back.
There have not been many.
No.
Bumpus. From a speed, he's
Bumpus was fast. Was not as fast.
No. You know. Just from a pure speed, change of direction standpoint, the guy can just change on a dime. There just haven't been many like him at Mississippi State.
Will Prosser? No, I just wanted to see what you do. Number five.
Shout out to Will Prosser.
Shout out to Will. I know he's listening.
And my doctor, Dr. Prosser, yeah. His dad. Great man.
Number five. The defense looked exactly like I thought it would
look. Yeah, I was not surprised at all.
I can't. We had a lot of people tweeting at us during the game, Robbie. Like, what's up with this defense? Why is it? And I just wanted to tweet back, and I'm like, you know, I do a podcast 5 days a week. If you'd listened to it once, I could have told you about this.
Yep.
I could have prepared you. They just looked. Now, I don't ever buy into the old, oh, well, they're just playing vanilla, saving it for. No, take that. You can't do that. Right? That's a recipe to get beat. I mean, they didn't have a lot of pass rush. You pointed this out during the game, and you were correct. When it was third and two, and they could just line up and kind of muddy up the middle, yeah. They were really good. And
they plugged those holes.
They can plug the holes, and I like that because that's going to come in handy through the year. But first and ten, where they're spread out a little bit, and they couldn't get pressure, the coverage wasn't super. The linebackers were just sort of forgettable tonight. My concerns that I have for the defense were all kind of realized watching the defense. It's like, all right, they're gonna. But I don't think State's going to get 56 points every week. But if they could, I mean, they can drop 20 points off of that and still have a great offensive night and still win a lot of games. But I just wasn't surprised by anything I saw defensively. You know, I will say this: they got a lot of guys in. They played a ton of guys. They needed to do that. They got to find out who's going to be good to go. But there was nothing I saw tonight made me go, okay, maybe I need to reconsider my opinion on this defense.
No, I wasn't shocked at all, but I did like Isaac Smith. He looks like a totally different guy out there. Just looks confident. Looks like a guy that's ready to lead that defense. 11 tackles in the game. I thought defended fairly well, broke up a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. Saw some good things from Zachary Tillman. I thought the backups were a little more exciting.
They played a little more, but I think part of that was when you're up that much, you can just sort of pin your ears back.
Yeah, and I do think the defense did look very vanilla.
Yeah,
they didn't mix it up as much, and maybe that's by design.
Yeah,
and I'm just like you, I hate that.
Yeah, I never buy into it. I think that's something fans say.
We used to do that every year before State played LSU. Mm-hmm. Remember, like we would say, like Dan Mullen's holding everything back, and then they play LSU
and it's all the same stuff
and do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were some bright spots here. I thought Brandon Jennings made a really nice play on that on what should have been could have been a fumble.
Yeah,
I think they got the call right. But you know, I thought Bingley Jones did some good things, plugging the hole. It really sucks if Calvin Dinkins is out again.
Yeah, that poor guy. I mean, cannot stay healthy.
He comes in there, gets a sack. And just bullied the offensive line on that play, got the sack. Two plays later, he's down on the field holding his knee.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But a ton of players played in this game, a ton of freshmen. Elijah Cannon gets a pick six. I really liked that backup group. Like, I don't know if that –
Dontari Russell?
Yes, Dontari Russell. I thought Joseph Head had a couple of really good snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
He and Ashon Shepard.
Ashon Shepard,
yeah.
Got a
sack.
And maybe it was late in the game, like you said, and they're able to just kind of get after it. Or maybe it's just those guys just playing with a little more oomph to them. Ky McClendon, the freshman, four tackles in the game. Been hearing about that kid all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy that they got very late in the process. That's a very... sneaky guy moving forward in the next couple years that could be like pretty big. I like the young talent on this team. It's just it's going to be a struggle at times this year. I mean, if you're not being real with yourself, you're going to be upset when you see this defense some this year. But they did the stuff that I was talking about this defense has to do. I've been talking about this defense this year about how they're not going to come out there and bully anybody. They're probably not going to get a lot of pass rush just like with a 3 or 4 man rush. They've got to be able to disguise some blitzes, mix it up, force turnovers, hit hard. Like, this has got to be a team that just kind of, you know, plays it a little different. They play with a little different edge to them. Because I don't think they can just go out there and line up and just beat you 11-on-11 this year. They just don't have the personnel to do it.
Agreed.
So they did it. They gave up almost 300 yards, which is a lot against an FCS team, I think. But they only gave up one touchdown. And that was right before the half. And I thought Travion Williams was very close to getting a sack on that touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's going to be a struggle. But if they can do somewhat what they did in this game, where they're just bending but not breaking, I think you'll be fine. But people just don't care anymore about your defenses coming out and just shutting people down.
Right.
That they want excitement. They want a lot of points. If Mississippi State's doing that, if they're scoring 32, 35 points a game, they're going to be in position to get to a bowl game.
Yeah. All right, number six, sort of on the same thing. My biggest concern overall in this game was State's lack of pass rush. I said, you know, one of the things we talked about when we talked about making it easy was, you know, they should get sacks because this is not a great offensive line. You should be able to out-talent them. You should have 2 or 3 sacks. And I think State does have 3 sacks in this game, but 2 of them came in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first group did not generate a ton of pass rush. That's a concern. That's a real concern going forward. Because
yeah,
this was the worst offensive line. This is one of the – I don't know about UMass, but this is probably the worst offensive line you're facing all year.
I don't know. That group was – I know it's FCS, but they played a lot of football together, and they're big. And they're going to be one of the better offensive lines in FCS, I think, this year. So, yeah. I mean, I thought it was a – it was actually a decent test for them considering who it was. But I don't know if that's going to be the – worst of the worst or what, but yeah, it was concerning. You still should be able to get a pass rush.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to be exotic with what they're doing blitzing wise.
Yeah, like, I agree.
They're going to have to bring pressure from the corners, safeties.
Yeah.
If you give up a big play, so be it, but you've got to put pressure on the quarterback somehow.
I agree.
That killed them last year. They didn't have anybody to set the edge or anything.
Number 7. I could not have been more pleased with special teams tonight. Now, they did miss a field goal. I think it was a botched snap, but regardless of that, we'll talk about it in sort of no kickoff returns to speak of. Malcolm Houck, is that his name?
Who?
The kicker.
For them?
For State.
Was it?
Hold on.
I thought Barmira would be.
No.
It wasn't?
It was a black guy.
Oh, I did not notice that. I didn't look up at a single kickoff, I don't think.
Make sure I got the name right on him. He's like number 47 or something. Let me find him down here. Great radio. Here he comes. He's coming up here right now. Marlon Hawk.
Okay.
He was the kicker.
All righty.
Transfer from Southern Illinois, apparently.
You
missed that, huh?
Did not watch his
kickoff. I'll tell you why I noticed him. The first play, he goes out there to kick, and I'm like, is that Pulliam? That was my first thought. And I was like, there's no way that Robbie reported all this and they decided at the last second, you know what, put him on scholarship. It'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that.
And so, yeah, so I go to the, you know, they give us those rosters. I was like, okay, I've never heard of this guy. But Marlon Hawk was the kicker. I thought he did a good job tonight. Barmira as a punter, only punted twice, was fantastic.
I've been saying it. People were kind of like, why this dude's not a punter? He's like, you brought him in to kick.
Yeah.
But I've been saying it. This guy can punt.
He can punt. He did a good job
tonight.
He punts
for 96 yards.
Yeah. Take that all day.
Had two inside the 20, yeah. Both
one,
of them down.
One to the one.
One to the one. He's good.
Yeah,
this really is good. A significant upgrade from what they had.
And then with Kevin Coleman tonight. Now, look, their punter was better in the second half for some reason. I don't know if they changed punters. But the guy that was kicking the ball to Kevin Coleman in the first half might as well just have thrown it to him.
They did not change punters. This dude punted seven times for
he figured something
43
out.
Yards a punt.
Because he was just shooting line drives right at Coleman, and Coleman would have 15 yards of running room before the. That's part of the reason State. What was State's total offense in this game?
450.
So Coleman has 100 and, I think, 11 yards return.
17.
So State is kind of cheated because normally you just, the average punt nowadays just gets fair caught. There's not a lot of returns. These were ones you had to return. You didn't have any choice. So State probably could have easily had 550, 560 yards of offense tonight had they not been so good in the return game. Coleman looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's the guy, look, those kind of punts aren't going to happen all year long.
Yeah, he won't get those all the time.
But he is a guy, when he gets a seam, he can make plays happen.
Yep.
So they just got to get the field goal things right. I mean, they made all the extra points. The field goal is the only thing that was a miss tonight. So really good job. Cliff Odom, great job on the special teams.
Yes.
Number eight. This team can go to a bowl if this defense is slightly below average or better. So on a scale of 1 to 10, if I can get a 4 out of this defense, I will tell you that this team is going to a bowl game. No question. No question
in
my mind.
You're just biased.
I'm biased, and there's libel hand happening here, but it'll be all right.
There's libel happening. Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of the whole 2023 baseball thing where if you could just have an ERA of 5,
yeah,
that's where I am with this.
Well, that's what we talked about. Yeah, this past off, you can, if you just have your 5, you win a lot more games.
Yep.
5's not good,
no,
but it was good enough.
You don't have to be good on defense this year.
Yeah. Let me see something.
If this offense reaches its capabilities, which it still has to do that too now, I mean, I don't want us to just jump to conclusion and say this offense is going to average 40 a game because it's going to be playing some tough teams. But if it reaches its potential or, a good bit of it, then the defense doesn't have to be just incredible,
Yeah. I'm trying to see scoring defense from a season ago. So here we go. So let's just say, because there's 133 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what number would you say is 4 out of 10?
What do you mean?
Like if I said slightly, what number from 1 through 133?
Mm-hmm.
What number signifies what I'm trying to say here?
Mississippi State,
yeah,
where they rank, total
this
defense
in scoring defense. What would that number be for you?
Probably to get to a bowl game.
Yeah,
probably 95 to 100.
Okay, so let's just say 95 last year was Memphis. They gave up 28 points per game.
Ooh, that's a lot.
It was. They finished 10-3 because they averaged 39 points per
game. Yes. And 39's high for Mississippi State offensively. That would be really high.
But that team went 10-3. And you're going to say, well, they play. It doesn't matter on their schedule.
And they averaged 32.
If you average 32, you're still probably a 6-6 team.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can just find Memphis, what their results were last year.
And I'm thinking about you're going to go up against Georgia, Tennessee,
yeah,
Texas, Ole Miss, and Missouri. That's 5 teams on your schedule that are going to make up the bulk of the points you give up.
Correct.
And you're going to lose probably 4 of those for sure.
Yeah. So Memphis last year, I would say that they beat Boise 35-32. So there's a game where they had to outscore.
Yeah.
They beat North Texas 45-42. They beat South Florida 59-50. They beat Charlotte 44-38. And they won their bowl game 36-26. So this is what I'm talking about. If they only get 32 points again, or 31 points, let's say, against Boise, against South Florida, against North Texas, they lose those games. mm-hmm. and they're 7-5 instead of 10-2 in the regular season.
Yeah,
that's how you have to look at things.
This is going to be a very interesting schedule to navigate.
Yeah.
Next week is one of those games they might have to outscore. I mean, the way Arizona State looks.
They may have to win that game 38-35.
That's a sneaky – I mean, already going to be tough.
Here it is, number 9.
Okay.
The biggest game of the season is next week.
Yeah.
All right, Florida, we'll talk about them in a minute, but that game is important. But right now, if you don't beat Arizona State, you can't go to a bowl. It's just that simple. You have to beat Arizona State. You have to beat them. If you don't beat them, you're not going to bowl. I mean, I didn't like what I saw from A&M tonight, but I don't think I'm going to sit there and tell you that they're not going to win when they play in Mississippi State in October. Yeah, you've got to beat Arizona State next week. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge game. Huge stakes for both teams, I think. Arizona State, they win that game and they're 2-0 all of a sudden. They're off and running. In this Big 12, they have a chance to get to a bowl game. And for a team that was 2-10 last year, that's a great step forward for them. For Mississippi State, they have to win this game. So this is the biggest game of the season. If they win this game, the Florida game becomes the biggest game of the season. You just get to keep having those kind of games. So,
yep.
There you go.
Yeah, it's I don't know what to think just yet.
I want to see how this – yeah.
I haven't watched a snap of that Arizona State game. They're
killing them. They have like 3 defensive touchdowns in this game. So that tells me if State can take care of the ball, maybe they can
– Wyoming, I feel like, has regularly been one of the worst Division I teams.
They beat Ole Miss that time.
They did beat Ole Miss that time.
So. But that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah. I remember – what was that, like 90s?
That was 04.
Was it 04?
Yeah. I think.
I can't remember.
It was Cutcliffe. I know that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to expect next week.
We shall see.
But
it's massive. It's massive.
You got to go on the road. Going to be a tough environment because it's, it is where it is.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is different from a, weather standpoint and stuff.
Arizona, their receiver, Territoria, I think is how I don't pronounce it. McMillan.
Yeah.
7 catches for 248 yards tonight, 4 TDs.
Yeah, I was shocked they were able to keep him on
the team. And Fafita. I thought they would go to Washington.
Yeah.
But there it is. All right. Let's talk about some important stuff. Let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers is brought to you by Strange Brew Coffee House. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Blackland.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I go with the D-line for Mississippi State. Just not impressive. And the D line is something we're going to talk about a little bit next week because from a recruiting perspective, that's not going the way State wants it to either. David Turner got a lot of questions to answer in the next few weeks here. So, I just wasn't impressed with them. They did not get pressure. They didn't really control the line of scrimmage the way I would have liked against an FCS team. I'm not surprised. Again, I didn't have high expectations for that group, but. They didn't do much of anything in this game, so that's my MSU no coffee. In the SEC, some people around college football have been trying to sell you a Lunchable that Florida is this talented team and they're going to put it all together. On this podcast, we were very upfront to the fact that we think Florida sucks.
I never understood this renewed sense of optimism about this
team.
It's
just this simple with Florida. And this is true about college football, as Mississippi State learned last year. It doesn't matter what players you have when your coach sucks.
Yeah.
All right? You cannot get out of your own way.
What have we seen from Billy Napier to just say automatically we're just going to give him
Him get his, spanked up and down the field today by Miami, 41-17. I had a moment in the press box tonight. I was coming out of the restroom, and coming out of the radio booth was former coach Charlie Strong.
Yes.
Who, of course, was a defensive coordinator at Florida.
Yep.
For a few years. And he's like, "Do you know this Florida score?" And I was like, "Ah, coach, they got whipped." He's like, really? I was like, yeah, 41-17. No, that wasn't the score. I was like, yes, it was. He goes, man. And he just went on about his business. I was like, Napier, the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
They're going to be 1-2 when they come to Starkville. State's got to be 3-0.
I think. I mean, A&M didn't look impressive either.
But they'll beat them.
If it works out like we've predicted, mm-hmm. and State's 3-0 and Florida's 1-2,
the wheels will come
off. I am taking State in that game.
Yeah. I'm taking them. Yeah. For sure.
I just can't fathom the people preseason that are saying this is a dark horse
candidate. Well, they have
candidates.
Some talent, but geez.
But they, I mean,
they're going to have to go to Lagway a little sooner than they thought. Mertz.
Well, Mertz has a concussion.
But they'll have to go to him anyway.
But here's the deal with them, though, too. Like, people keep talking about, well, they've improved recruiting or whatever. Dan Mullen didn't leave them with no recruits.
Right.
I mean, they complained about his recruiting, it was still a top 15 roster.
Yeah,
which in my, very minimal estimations that I make when I'm looking at these numbers, top 15 gets you in position to win a national championship if you're a top 15 talent roster.
Yeah,
and Dan Mullen was far more successful than what Billy Napier's been. Didn't leave that.
Mullen trolling on Twitter tonight was outstanding.
That was great.
I laughed really hard. From a national perspective, and I feel like if we were doing this podcast tomorrow night, I might be able to drop USC into the spot. I feel like they're going to get embarrassed by LSU. You know, sometimes when you break up with somebody and you give them the old, it's not you, it's me. Sometimes, though, that's a lie. And it is them.
Yes.
And in the case of Mississippi State's breakup with Kevin Barbet,
ooh,
it is him.
Eh.
The Houston Cougars tonight lost to UNLV at home. They lost that. They were at home. They lost 27-7. Have you seen these numbers? Are you ready?
I glanced.
Houston rushed the ball 26 times tonight for 38 yards. 1.5 yards per carry. 22 of 38 passing the ball for 209 yards, so 5.5 yards per attempt. Less than 10 yards per completion. They didn't score until 1 minute left in the game when their backup quarterback led a 12-play drive against UNLV. I mean, by at that point, the naked cowboy was on the field for some Elvis impersonators for UNLV. Listen to these rushing numbers. First off, Donovan Smith, the quarterback, 12 carries for negative 24 yards. So that sounds about right. So I guess if you take him out, they ran the ball. I mean, this is a major college football team that isn't an air raid team, and they ran a total of 14 rushing plays. Parker Jenkins, 2 carries for 17 yards. Give him the ball, 8.5 per carry. Zion Chris, 3 for 16. Rashawn Sanford, 4 for 13. 1 for 5, 1 for 5, 1 for 3, 2 for 3. Yeah, we were right. Barbet sucks, and there you go.
How did he get another offensive coordinator position?
This is something people know this, and you know this. Once you become a coach and you achieve a certain level, once you become a coordinator, you're just good. You will always have a job. You will always be able to get a job.
It's kind of like, Joe Moorhead.
Like the NFL.
It's kind of like Joe Moorhead getting a – we've seen the Joe Moorhead experience, and after like a year or two, whatever it was at Oregon, he just got hired again.
Yeah.
And his offense looked like trash, but I know it was Ohio State, but still.
They won the time of possession battle.
I believe that's
what our friend Stefan.
Imagine he mentioned that in the post game press conference.
Let me see if I can find the score, or I can find the game here. Box score. Time of possession. Where is it? No, I want the game cast. I'm sorry, because now I've just got my curiosity. They did 34 minutes to 26.
Congratulations.
34 minutes of holding the ball, they had 177 yards of offense. I just thought that Barbet's numbers were bad on the ground. Akron rushed 35 for 47. The difference here is that Akron is playing Ohio State.
Yeah, he does get a little bit of grace, but I don't think it's going to be much better against
No, I don't think so either. But that being said, we're not going to get Jomo the lack of coffee. It will definitely be Kevin Barbet. No coffee.
He never gets coffee.
No coffee for
especially
him.
After that little charade he pulled the other day on the podcast.
He pointed the finger.
He did not point the thumb.
All right. Tomorrow's show, which is not tomorrow's show, Tuesday's show. Yes. We'll recap what we hear from Jeff Lebby at his weekly press conference. We'll have week two of our SEC picks. No differences between me and Robbie this week, so nothing to speak of there. Plus, I'm sure we'll find someone else to talk about as well. Want to thank you guys for tuning into the post-game show. Really appreciate you guys tuning into that and tuning in, of course, today to Thunder and Lightning. College football season is back, and we are off to a great start here on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Looking forward to bringing it to you all season long. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.